6:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Happy Friday. We got a lot to get to today. It was a busy week, Eric. Wow.
This week did actually speed by, and I can't believe that we are a week away from the unofficial kickoff of summer.
Yeah, Memorial Day is literally a week. It's amazing. This whole year is going fast. It is. I mean, May is almost over.
Yeah.
Right. It's the 15th now. It's. It feels like Memorial Day is early this year, though.
Is it? Is it one of those rotating holidays?
I think it feels like it's a week earlier than it is. Isn't it usually toward the 22nd this year? I don't know. Feels early because there's the last weekend in May.
Oh, right. Yes. Right? Sometimes it is the last weekend in May. Yeah.
So, anyway, what was that report you were talking about that one out of three New Jerseyans thinking about leaving?
Well, more than that, it's the older residents. It's 45 plus. In the last year, a third have considered leaving New Jersey. And we've seen that a lot of them are. And they're actually fleeing to states that we wouldn't normally think of, because you always think of Florida, Carolina, or something like that. Tennessee is one of the biggest new destinations now.
I heard Trev talking about that the other night, that Tennessee is a huge destination. But I think Tennessee I'm actually surprised to hear it, because it's super expensive now. If you're looking at property in the Nashville area, Nashville is so built up. There's so much construction going on. But you look at prices there. I mean, I guess because there's no state income tax,
There's no state income tax. Property tax is lower. One of the areas that is booming right now is in and around Chattanooga, which is down near the Tennessee border.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was one development that had 2,200 new units. 750 of those units have now been sold to people either in New Jersey or New York State.
It's incredible. I mean, it's incredible. Well, look, I mean, it's not just the taxes. Everything here is expensive.
Well, that's absolutely true. And it's when we add this up, you know, we were talking about this the other night on Jersey thing, is that, you know, you have an affordability crisis and nobody is addressing it. Everybody talks about it, points fingers at it and goes, hey, look, our property taxes are the highest in the nation. Look at our utility rates. Look at our auto insurance rates. Look at our home insurance rates. Look at all of these things. And then nobody does anything about it. And when you look at the number of pieces of legislation that are introduced on an annual basis in the legislature, you can count on one hand the number of them that actually address affordability.
Well, how many bills address cutting spending? How many address lowering taxes? I mean, it's, you know, the best we get. I feel like it's the Pawn Stars show. Best I can do is a pause in the gas tax for 10 minutes.
Well, right. But that was even that was dismissed. And, you know, here's my point is that, you know, you have Mikey Sherrill, who comes in as the affordability governor. Right. I mean, she was elected on affordability. Yep. That was what everybody said, that, you know, the main reason that she was elected governor. And it was in 2022, at the height of the pandemic, it was Democrats led by Senator Shirley Turner who were trying to roll back the gas tax.
Right.
Now, the Democrats won't even consider that. And Cheryl did a cost-benefit analysis. Is it better for me as the affordability governor to go along with giving some at least temporary relief to drivers, or is it better for me to blame the rise in gas prices on President Trump? And guess which one she picked?
She has a serious case of Trump derangement syndrome, no question about it. But, on one hand, if we were you and I had this conversation yesterday about Jim Florio and the idea of some of these consumption taxes. The governor's not wrong in that people are going to fill their tanks up anyway.
Yes.
So this was the argument I made years ago about the sales tax. And I disagreed with Chris Christie trading a cut in the sales tax for a hike in the gas tax. The truth is, leave them both alone. And, you know, nobody's making a buying decision on a quarter point or a half a point on a sales tax. You might make a buying decision on a 3% sales tax versus a 7% sales tax. That I can see. But you're not making a decision between 6 1/3 or 6 1/8 and 7.5. Consumer behavior doesn't move on small amounts like that. But The real question is, and you and I have talked about this, is where is the money going? How do you go from $35 billion, end of Chris Christie's term in 2017, to $61 billion just 9 years later? That's the question.
Well, you know, and
what are we getting for that? I'm not getting any more benefit.
And it's not
I'm using less, as a matter of fact. Right. My kids are out of school.
And it's not making it any more affordable. You know, there is this idea among Democrats that we can tax and spend our way to prosperity. And the only ones really that are prospering are the Democratic members of the legislature. So I don't know that you're... It's a valid question, but I don't know how you find that out. Unless you do a DOGE type of an audit, which Democrats have resisted for years. Now, the cost of certain things do go up when you talk about, you know, making your full pension payments, when you talk about the amount of money that has to go to paying entitlements, the amount of money that has to go for, you know, charity care, for health care, the amount it costs for health care insurance. Those are costs that are going to go up. There's very little that you can really do about that.
They go up faster here than in other places.
They do.
We're not the Pennsylvania government's not spending as much on pension and benefits as we are in New Jersey per person. You know, healthcare is a little bit cheaper because it's you know, their rules are different. They don't have the same minimum standards, and that, you know, insurance. Look at the Department of Banking and Insurance; it's a complete disaster. They're now, I think, their average is 300 days to go through rate changes and new products. I mean, it's so. Here's a question for you: 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. If you're thinking about leaving, what state is your number one place to go? Or would you leave the country? 1-800-283-101.5. Charlie, you'd be first on the other side of traffic. And with the next.
New Jersey 101.5 severe weather alerts deliver fast, accurate, critical updates from Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow and the New Jersey 101.5 weather team. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePew.
6:22 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So talking about what state you're thinking about escaping to, one out of three New Jerseyans over 45 have thought about it in just the last year. So I got to tell you, it's not getting better. Alfred, I'm going to get to you. But first, Charlie in Woodbridge, you've got some sad news to share with us.
Hi, Bill. Sad news out of Jersey City. A battalion chief, Brian Shook, passed away last night after having a heart attack, I believe, at home a day or two ago.
I'm so sorry.
Your support of all first responders and military is second to none. Fantastic. Brian Shook was a great mentor to my daughter, Colette, who's on Jersey City Fire now for 10 years and has really taught her the job inside out. And she's able to train other new firefighters now because of him. And he's a super, super well-respected firefighter, battalion chief, and just a great man in general. So I thought you might want to know that.
How old was the chief?
52.
Oh, my God. So young.
52.
Married with kids?
Yes, sir.
So they're having a terrible time today. And it was sudden? Yeah. We don't know why?
Sudden, I don't know why. Oh, but it was not on the job.
But please, it was not. Please give me his name again.
Brian Shook.
Brian. Shook. How do I spell it?
B-R-Y-A-N.
Shook. Jersey City. I'm just looking it up. That is heartbreaking. 52. And 52. When did this happen? Did it happen last night?
No, I believe. Well, he passed away last night, but the heart attack happened, I believe, on Wednesday at home.
Wow. Well, tell your daughter that we're praying for all the firefighters in Jersey City for sure, and we'll certainly keep Chief Brian Shook and his family in our prayers. Thank you, Charlie. Thanks for letting us know.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, bye-bye. You too. Appreciate you. Take care. Man, that's just tragic. I 52. Going to be a lot of speculation as to why, and we're seeing this more and more. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion, and you're hearing doctors talk about this. I know Dr. Robert Malone's talking about this, Peter McCullough, and others talking about the heart implications of the COVID jab And, you know, I'm not going to speculate because I don't know, but this is a very real thing with young men in particular and middle-aged men in particular with between cancer and heart issues. So, you know, I don't know. I do know that in many of these departments, our first responders were forced to get these jabs. And, you know, obviously we don't know if there were other comorbidities or underlying conditions, but so I'm not going to speculate on why, but I am going to say that there's a growing concern among doctors. You can see this online, and I have written about this before, that the adverse effects of the COVID shot have literally killed people, that more people are in health danger with the shot than were ever, ever endangered with COVID. You know, we said this from the very beginning. So our condolences to Chief Brian Shook and his family, leaves behind wife and kids. I what can you say? It's terrible. It's a terrible loss for a community and for a first responder hero. So again, we don't know what the underlying causes were, but you know, certainly someone will and should dig into that. So our condolences to all of you in Jersey City, the firefighters who are now suffering and mourning the loss of your battalion chief. All right, it is coming up on 6:26. So what I want to talk about on the other side, and Alfred, I don't want to rush you. I want to get to news, but I want to find out your plan in terms of where you're moving. You've got an interesting story. Where are you leaving to? Are you getting out of Jersey? I mean, you know, many people will tell you that this problem can't be fixed. I disagree. I think we can fix it. If you look at Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis was able to take a blue state, turn it red, get property taxes to a point where Florida is arguably one of the most affordable places in the country that you can move to. Yes, you're going to pay a little bit of a premium on your insurances, etc., but nothing like what we're paying in New Jersey. All right, Alfred, you'll be first. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. Question is, are you digging in or are you getting out? And if you're getting out, where are you going? What's the number one state of exit? 1-800-283-101.5, 627. Eric Scott with the news next. 6:37 on New Jersey, 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So where are you headed if you are getting out? Well, Eric, what was the stat again? It was 45 and older, one out of three, yes, New Jerseyans said they are thinking about leaving.
In the last year.
Just in the last 12
months. Just in the
last
year.
Wow.
Yeah. And the two biggest factors, property taxes and utility rates.
Oh, the energy rate. You know, it's interesting, too, and you'd mentioned this, that we've got Governor Affordability who won the election on that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in part, the Republican candidate lost the election on that when Jack allowed her to capitalize. And I mean, it's fascinating to me. The Democrats are the ones that pushed that oversaw the closing of six natural gas plants, the closing of the clean coal plant. They oversaw how many hundreds of millions, if not more, were spent on this farce of wind power, which never came to fruition. I mean, they never even built them.
Right.
It's amazing that same party campaigned successfully on lowering energy costs. And I don't know about you. I mean, other than your electric portion, because you have solar that you're giving back to the grid, you know, for the average person out there, you're paying what, $400? What's the, I don't know what the average is.
Oh, it's much more than that. I mean, the last time, you know, we talked about this, we had people that were calling up saying, you know, it was $700, $800, $900. Yeah. And now,
mine is up to almost 900.
Well, it's a lot of money. Now to a business. If you're a restaurant or you're a manufacturer, thousands, or something, like, you're talking about $15,000 to $20,000, yeah, a month. A month.
Even some of the shops in the strip malls. You know, you ask a dry cleaner, they're paying $1,500, $2,000.
Yep.
I mean, it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable.
Well, but those words, not sustainable, how many times have we said that over the last 10 years that we've been sitting here together, and yet what's been done about it?
Not one thing. And that's, you know, and I'll tell you the truth. I'm even tired of criticizing the Republicans on this. The reality is that it is a reality. It's almost back to what John Bramnick said, even though I consider John a Democrat. He had an interesting point. He was yelling about this years ago, saying, you got to send us more Republicans into the legislature because we can't get anything done. Well, Senator, you're not wrong. The problem is that the leadership of the Republicans is so weak and so distracted, ineffective, choose your word, that what have they lost? 11 seats in the assembly in the last two cycles. Yeah. So you went from 34 assembly seats now to 23. And I have to say, the prospects in 2027 not looking any better. No. Who are your candidates? You're going to get a reelection. I mean, Paul Kinitra likely to get reelected. Jay Weber likely to get reelected. Eric Peterson. I mean, you've got some good guys that are out there fighting. Ara Dunn, Greg Meyer, Brian Rumpf, just to name a few. But I don't see the new prospects coming up. I mean, I'm just looking at the U.S. Senate race, right? Which I wrote about yesterday. Did you see Wildstein?
I did. Yeah,
apparently, I made a big endorsement yesterday. Yeah. Very funny. Yeah. But, you know, I explained it in the article that, Justin Murphy's a friend of mine. He's a good guy. And I rated it on who I thought was the most sincere and best candidate. But that said, David did not write about this in the article, or not that I saw. I qualified it by saying, look, this is a massive uphill undertaking. You're going into a buzzsaw of Cory Booker with 22 million today.
Right.
He's got 22 million.
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to have by September?
Well, and that doesn't include the backing that he's going to get from senatorial committees.
And look, a lot of the radicals see him as a prospective presidential candidate.
Well, he ran once.
Well, I think he's going to run again for this reason, that they will all be vying to be Gavin Newsom's VP. And you got a better shot at being tapped if you run.
Without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, because that experience is invaluable in running. As you know, just from, your
right.
run.
Just from running for governor.
If you ever did it again, you've learned some things.
Yeah. What I've learned is I'm unlikely to do it again. That's actually what I learned.
That's an important lesson. But, I mean, you look at what even the Democrats are doing, possibly through redistricting.
Yeah.
Where they're going to create this Democrat super district and try to combine the 4th and the 7th. They're basically going to redistrict a Republican seat out. Tom Kaine is likely to lose that seat. That seat is likely to flip Democrat.
And I don't think he's going to, at the end of the day, I don't think he's the candidate come November.
No, I don't believe that either.
No,
But it, be that as it may, if he loses that seat and they redistrict the other two Republican seats, you're down to one Republican in the state's congressional delegation.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Jeff Andrew would be it.
It would probably be it.
I think Chris Smith will put up a big enough fight. I don't know. It will be interesting if they pull that off. But we'll see. The prospects aren't good because you can't name the leadership. That's the question. You ask the average New Jerseyan, who's your top Republican? And they will say, I don't even know what that question means.
Right.
Right?
Right.
All right, let's go to Alfred in Springfield. So, Alfred, you getting out. What's going on?
Yeah, I changed my address to South Dakota about 2-3 years ago.
Now, but you're living in Jersey? How'd you pull that off?
Well, first of all, you only have to show up at South Dakota for one day, get a motel receipt, go to town hall, and they make you a South Dakota resident. No state tax. No inheritance tax, less car insurance. And then, I'm retired, so nobody knows where I am, and it's fine.
So,
I cheat a little bit.
What's your address in South Dakota? It's a motel?
No, it's a mailbox drop.
So
they allow that in South Dakota as an address.
I got to tell you, Alfred, I don't think they allow that in Jersey if you're staying here for more than 180 days, right?
Yeah, well, they never know. I'm not here. I don't use Easy Pass. I'm not on social media. They don't know I'm here.
Well, they know now.
Now they do. Thank you.
Right? I mean, look, your secret is safe with me, Alfred. I'm not going to say anything. And if that is, in fact, your name. But you're basically cheating the system is what you're doing.
Well, they cheated me for long enough.
Yeah, look, Alfred,
they deserve what they get because of what they do to us.
I will not publicly condone breaking the law, but I will say that it doesn't surprise me. And I will tell you this, Alfred, you are not alone. There are a lot of guys out there doing that. It's why the state, as we understand it, for these rich guys that try to do the, 181 days out of the state, they track their cell phones, their credit cards. I mean, you get audited on that. Now, Alfred, if you're retired, are you worth $100 million?
No.
No.
So not yet.
You're going to get away with it. They're not coming after you.
They screw us any way they can, and we're supposed to sit there and play by the rules when they make us get.
Look, I can't argue with you. All right, man. Good talking to you, Alfred. Good luck. Enjoy your one day in South Dakota. All right. Anybody else cheating the system that you want to use a fake name or call the station, let me know. Would love to hear from you. 1-800-283-101.5. But beyond cheating the system, if you're getting out, what state are you going to, or what state do you really want to relocate to? 1-800-283-101.5, 645 is the time. Traffic and weather next.
Get the latest traffic, weather, and local news with New Jersey 101.5, keeping you informed on all things Jersey.
651 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. That caller was funny, right? He's got an address in South Dakota. But he's living here. I'll be honest. I have a problem with that. Like, if you want to get out, get out. Don't cheat the system. It is way cheaper to live in a place like South Dakota. I told you, Jody and I owned a farm for a time in South Dakota, and we had 40 acres. It was, we had thought at some point, it was many years ago, that, I wonder if we could live that kind of a rural life, and decided, no, I'm a city mouse. This is, I'm a Jersey guy. Like this is it. And working between here and Newsmax on the weekends, and the fast pace is what I love. And what you find is where you go, if it's cheaper, you are sacrificing something. And, the farm actually was located within the boundaries of an Indian reservation, which I thought was really interesting. But it was like a 2-hour drive from Sioux Falls. And it's like, it's the idea of living remote is something that is not for everybody. And I remember I was on a ski lift in Vermont. And it was I was on the lift, and I tend not to talk to people when you're in that mode. But for some reason, we struck up a conversation. The woman sitting next to me was the wife of a state trooper. And she was telling me that, he was retiring next year, and they had already bought land in South Dakota, and they were building a house. And their whole retirement was hunt and fish and live off the land. And I thought, that sounds great. But you know what? That's not me. Then on the flip side, we have friends that have moved to Florida. And look, no offense, guys, but Florida's too hot, too crowded now. I'm not a Florida guy. So this is why I rant on the radio and talk about policy solutions and get super mad at the Republicans, because it's like, come on, guys. We should be in this together. We want to fight to make this state more affordable. And it's like we do everything but make the state more affordable. And when you pick up the small pieces on the edges, I mean, I understand the point, that these two assembly members are pushing to suspend the gas tax for a time while we're at war. I get it. But it's not going to really mean anything to our wallets. I mean, if you saved me $5 a week on gas, keep your $5 and go fight over the fact that we should be reopening the 6 plants that Murphy closed. Go fight. I haven't heard one Republican talk about something that I brought up in, I think, almost every debate when I was running, the peaker plants that are not running at 100% capacity to develop, to create electricity from natural gas. They're there for only the peak usage time, so we don't have a brownout or a blackout. Well, that's not acceptable. They should be running all the time at peak capacity, because We were, believe it or not, under Chris Christie, and I mentioned Governor Christie yesterday, and I argued that he was one of the better governors that we've had. So was Jim Florio. Say that in a actually, if I mention both names, Jim Florio and Chris Christie, and I've done this when I speak at Republican events, I get hisses and groans. They don't like either of them. And the reality is that it was the legislature that let Governor Christie down. It was the party that let him down. And I'm not saying that he didn't do things that upset a lot of people. I get that. Hey, look, Christie and I fought over the gas tax. We fought over the statehouse renovation. I was, he and I exchanged words on several occasions. That said, we need to get back to a time when the Republican Party was laser focused on affordability and getting our taxes down and restructuring our school funding and ending the scourge of high density housing. Can you imagine high density housing going on, ruining our suburbs? Meanwhile, we don't have enough housing to meet the demand. It's nuts. All right. Where are you getting out to? What's your number one state if you're leaving the Garden State? 1-800-283-101.5, 656. Eric Scott with the news next.
Live personalities, local insights, and traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes. Stay connected with New Jersey 101.5.
7:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you. About 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. Want to thank the Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. So it's really two questions. One, what is the cost that will finally break your back and drive you out of state? Eric, I don't know if you heard that last caller who has an address in South Dakota.
South Dakota, yeah.
And declared himself a resident.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that South Dakota will allow you to declare yourself a resident if you're there for a day. I wonder if that's because people park their RVs there.
Maybe.
You know, and I know people have done that. I never understood the sell your home and get an RV and travel the country and call that, and that becomes your home. I would have no desire to do that.
No. I mean, we did that a lot as a kid. My dad had a big Midas motorhome, and he would pack us all and we'd go on vacation. But I could not imagine, knowing what I know about that experience, living there.
It's
plus, I mean, you at least like to drive. I do not like to drive.
I loved the RV when I had it, but I also flipped it, and it was a financial positive for me. Not flipped it physically.
Right.
I sold it.
Right.
Because I sold it at the peak of the market when literally I had upgrades on it and they were able to buy it back for me and sell the upgrades to other RV owners. So the dealer made money too. Everybody made out.
I'm looking at this here online. Establishing South Dakota residency requires only a mailing address,
yeah,
an overnight stay, and proof of intent to make the state your permanent home.
So I could have done that when we owned the farm out there.
Yeah. 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 The key factor they say is your intent. And that's the real thing to remain indefinitely. So mailing address, driver's license, vehicle registration, that qualifies as intent.
But New Jersey will expect their taxes to be paid.
Absolutely.
If you're here for more than 180 days.
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to be out of the state. You can't be in state for 180 or more days, or is it 181, whatever the cutoff is.
More than half the year.
Right. So if you're here.
Yeah. 6 months in a day.
6 months in a day.
Yep.
You owe the state of New Jersey.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, it's not, guys, believe me, it's not worth it breaking the law to avoid the taxes because, A, they could come and fine you. B, you know, tax evasion is a crime. So you got to be very careful with that. They do, though, Eric. The state has gone after a lot of these rich guys where they track their credit card payments and their cell phones. Mm-hmm. And all, you know, they can determine where you are. My thought is the better idea is either get out if you don't like it or help me fight to change it. Ah, there's a crazy idea. Let's go to Andy in Pittstown. What do you think, Andy?
Good morning, Bill. Is this Bill?
Yes, last I checked. Is this Andy?
Yeah, Andy from Pittstown.
Oh, good morning, Andy from Bill. Pittstown. How you doing?
Good morning, the whole crew for me.
What's that?
Good morning to the whole crew. Yeah, I pay $5,000 a year for auto insurance.
What kind of car are you driving?
I drive a small pickup right now.
How many cars, $5,000?
Just a pickup.
Really?
I have a bad driving record. I loaned my other truck to a girl.
He crashed it.
Andy, either you're underwater or you're jumping up and down on a trampoline. I'm not really sure, but it's hard to hear you. I'm going to let you get your phone situated, and then we'll pick you up. Let's go to Ron Urban, who's in Toms River. What's going on, Ron? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
So just real quick, I'm seeing more and more something that scares me and I run from. I have people, I go to their homes and they're stealing electricity.
How?
And if they go, how they put, they jump before their meter and they're going refeeding their house. And to me, as soon as I see it, I just walk out.
Wait. I want to understand. How do they do it?
They go before their meter. They tap in. I guess they get an electrician.
Oh, they tap in before it hits the box. No kidding. Yeah, but that sounds right. That has to be a super skilled electrician to be able to do that, right?
Well, there's a lot of homeowner guys, electronic guys, and some get crooked electricians to do it for them and stuff. Years ago, they even tap into bigger projects. And it's, by the way, it's wrong. It's dangerous. It's just
but don't the phone or the electric companies, I mean, the power company, I would imagine, we still have a guy that used to come by the house and physically read the meter. I guess now with the electronic meter, they don't need to do that.
I guess. Some of them in their basements, they're the older meters and things like that. It's just scary stuff. But real quick, so Eric, by the way, he's talking about his electric and no bill. Eric doesn't realize something. He owes me big time.
Tell me.
So Eric's bill was $600 to $800, right? Murphy alone raised our electric by 78%. And you guys are a little off on something.
What's
so
that?
So people are calling me up. Now that summer's coming, their bills are going to be between $1,200 and $1,900.
You're not wrong, Ron. I am seeing that, too. And I'm thinking about, you know, when I run the filter 24-7 and all that. I don't know. My high bill last summer was $1,100. So I'm sure it's going to be higher this year. All right, Ron, I got to jump. Thanks for calling. It is 7:16. We're talking about, what is the bill that drives you the craziest in Jersey? And is there a state that you're thinking about leaving? Apparently, a third of you already have a plan. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 7:16 is the time. Traffic on the next.
Start your day with Bill Spadia. Keep it going with Judy and EJ. Ride home with Dominski and more. We're New Jersey 101.5.
7:22 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. After the 8:30 news, we'll have our Blue Friday. Got a special Blue Friday today. And then after the 9 o'clock news, we'll do our veteran check-in with our friend Marine combat veteran Michael Bowl, who's got an update for you. There's a lot happening this weekend. For me and for a lot of us, including Mike, who's behind the board today, it's two working days till Monday. And, you know, it's interesting that we're going to have a summer-like weekend. So it's going to make it that much harder for those of you that have to work this weekend, because it's going to be almost 90 on Sunday. I'm sure the traffic is going to be brutal. A quick note that the George Washington Bridge, as you may know, had that mishap earlier in the week. They're now doing the emergency repairs. I can't imagine what the traffic is going to be like as we hit Friday night with people heading out for the weekend. So if you are heading out of New Jersey and heading north, you definitely want to hit the Tappan Zee Bridge. We'll check in with Bob Williams in a little bit after the 7:30 news to give us an update on that emergency repair construction. That's a bad part to drive in anyway. Always congested, always packed. I told you it was on... What was it, Thursday night? I did the show. No, Wednesday night, I was live for the president's visit to China, and I went into the city, got there around 6, and I left after the show. We were done. We wrapped up about 11. I was in the car by 11:30. Got home around 1 in the morning because the traffic was backed up in the city to the Lincoln Tunnel. So I'm sure it's going to be brutal this weekend as well with the GWB, with the emergency repairs. Hopefully they'll be done tonight. We'll see. But anyway, back to what we were talking about earlier. Every aspect of New Jersey has gotten to a point where you could point to that being the one thing that is simply too much. I mean, I was talking the other day about even our trash service. When I went to the township to get a second barrel, $300, but you have to use their barrel or the guys won't pick it up. Like, think about it, they hit you at every single turn. I looked into even switching my cell phone service and consolidating. Doesn't matter. There's no real cheaper option out there. So we are stuck in this. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've got, no matter what state you live in, you are still paying the premium on gas. You're still paying it on the generation of electricity. There are other states that have done a lot better than we've done. There's no excuse in New Jersey. The resulting high energy cost, that $800, $900, and you heard Ron Urban earlier, some of you are going to see a $1,200, $1,300 residential power bill this summer between your gas and your electric. It's out of control. And it is not because Donald Trump took us into war in Iran. It is not because the Trump administration helped push back and guys like Congressman Jeff Van Drew against the wind power. Nope, that's not the reason. It is directly a result of the environmental wackos in New Jersey. And I'm talking about former Governor Murphy and his wife Tammy. These radicals stopped the production of electricity with natural gas effectively. 6 plants closed. They stopped the coal-fired plant. They made zero progress on nuclear. Now, Mikey Sherrill, for her part, is doing the exact same thing. The difference is Murphy didn't really care what you thought of him. He wasn't going to do the photo op. He just laughed at you, mocked you. Remember, you were shut down and he was marching during COVID with Black Lives Matter. He mocked us, didn't care. Sherrill, smarter because she has real national ambition. And she did the photo op in front of the nuclear power plant as if to say, don't worry, New Jersey, I'm going to fix it. Meanwhile, what are you paying at the pump? What are you paying your electric bill every month? What are you paying in insurance? All of this, the governor's done nothing on affordability, and that's exactly what she got elected to do. Now, benefit of the doubt, okay, let's see what she's going to do. For you, what's the bill that you most dread every month? And have you thought of, are you in the one-third of 45 plus who say, I want to get out of here, or are you in the two-thirds that are digging in with me? 1-800-283-101.5. 727, Eric Scott with the news in 3 minutes. 7:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Eric, I've got some good news for you.
Excellent. I could use it.
The Hate-O-Meter has filled for next week already. I know, and it's only Friday.
Our cup runneth over.
I know, and in part because, and I don't like repeats because I feel like some people try to get in the Hate-O-Meter. But for some reason, our friend Lewis in Manchester.
Yeah.
If you want to just do yourself a favor and click on his name in the app chat, there is a thread that started at 7:27 this morning. Now, it is 7:39 right now. We are at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he's very angry.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you looking at that? So Lewis, the question I have for you, two questions, really. One, what got you up on the wrong side of the bed this morning? And two, if you hate me so much, why do you listen?
Well, it's kind of like driving past a car accident. You can't not look.
Perhaps. I think maybe you've really... like if you see your neighbor's house on fire, you don't just stay in.
you for some reason need to go and gawk. And right, I mean, people do that. So you think that's what it is. You think Lewis, the hater in Manchester, and you know, Manchester is like, it's a nice town. We have a lot of listeners there. Good local government, a couple of great restaurants, some nice shopping plazas.
But you know what's interesting is I'm kind of going through Lewis's history here. He's been hating on you for a long time.
How far back do we go with him?
Well, I mean, I'm to April 8th right now.
That's the last thing that it says the chat begins there, right?
This chat begins. Yeah, I don't know how long. Interesting.
I don't know how our chat even works. Perhaps producer Thomas can enlighten us a little bit. Because if you're on the app chat, he has not added anything yet. Producer Thomas, how does this work? It only goes back to April 8th.
Yeah, I believe it updates, so it deletes a lot of messages.
Really?
But to my knowledge, Lewis has been hating for a long time.
Like since the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the app chat's been around since what? How many years?
Oh, long time. Yeah.
More than 10?
No. I usually like to read that. So if I'm filling in for you, and I mean, I don't get quite the vitriol that you get, but yeah. I will get some. And I like to encourage them to call.
I would love it if Lewis wants to call. Right. Now, here is my concern with Lewis. Almost every line has an F-bomb in it.
Yeah. Well, you can't do that.
So it's okay for the chat. Go ahead.
But I've also found that people like Lewis that are empowered with a heavy dose of keyboard courage will not pick up the phone and actually have a conversation.
And that's unfortunate because I think Lewis is angry, but he's focused on issues. So if you notice in Lewis's chats, he's yelling about Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security.
He's very well informed.
He seems to be well informed, don't you think?
Oh, he just dropped another one. Oh.
He did. Okay, well, hold on a minute. Let me refresh.
But I remember when you first came here, Bill, when you first got back.
When I got back from my run.
I was compiling a long list of hate messages of when the announcement came out that Bill Spadia is coming back.
Yeah.
And I believe Lewis was one of those. So Lewis goes back to the beginning of your era, your second era here.
Yeah.
He's so mad, he just posted the same line twice. I like the station. I like the weather reports. And at times, you have decent topics. Well, that's nice. Thank you. But when you go political, you're an...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So now, you know what, though? I appreciate, Lewis, even though you're right, Eric, about the keyboard courage, at least he addressed what we're saying. So he listens for the weather.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have a decent topic. But I don't think I was even political this morning. I mean, other than talking about the high cost of living. And to be honest, you know, this is an argument that we've had even having conversations with management because people don't love political discussions. But you can't discuss the cost of energy in New Jersey without discussing the politicians that drove the cost up. Would you agree? Right.
Yes.
Yeah. They're intertwined. And I wonder, well, we're going to see. But Lewis, you were so mad that you wrote the same thing twice. Or does that mean he hit enter twice?
He may have hit enter twice. He may have a little amnesia as well.
He could. Yeah, that's true.
When you hate someone that much, I feel like when you have that much hate in your heart, you forget things, you know?
Now, what do you think? Do you think Lewis is married?
That's a good question.
I would love to find out, is Lewis a young guy who's just sitting on his phone? Is Lewis an older gentleman who, his wife's upstairs and I picture him like in the den.
Yeah.
And he's got the radio on and he's sitting in his big box computer. And every time I say something, he's clicking away on the keyboard with anger and vitriol. That's what I think. Okay.
I can see that.
And then people get even madder because.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother us. In fact, we like it. We were both kind of like, this is a slow day today. Now, thankfully, Lewis has energized us.
It is a slow Friday today.
Right? I feel that. We're like, thank you, Lewis.
It almost feels like this is a weekend in and of itself in this section of the day. Yeah, interesting. So thank you, Lewis. I will address what you said. He's saying Trump drove up the cost of energy. Untrue. As a matter of fact, the cost of energy has spiked over the past few years. as a direct result of environmental policies that do not make the planet any cleaner, do not make your air any cleaner. They simply drive up your costs for the fantasy of thinking that somehow the electric bus, the electric car is better for the environment. And what we've learned is that solar, wind, all of these things, not only not better for the environment, I would argue much worse. All right, question for you. What is the cost of living in New Jersey doing to you? And are you one of the one out of three people that is getting out? And where are you going? So far, we've got Tennessee and South Dakota. Didn't really expect that one. Where are you heading to? 1-800-283-101.5, 745 Fast Traffic, Instant Weather next.
From deep discussions to lighthearted conversations, you're listening to New Jersey 101.5.
Bro. 7:52 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So, it was funny. We were talking about Lewis in Manchester on the app chat, but the reality is that people do get angry. And part of the anger in New Jersey is that there are, you know, there are so many things that the political leaders could be doing and they don't do. And, you know, when they act, they're acting in their own self-interest and not ours. And that's the problem. You know, I was just talking to my friend Eric Peterson, who's in the legislature. Like, there was a bill yesterday in the Commerce Committee that would eliminate loyalty reward programs and targeted coupons. What? Why is that even being discussed in the legislature? Meanwhile, you're paying $900 a month to turn your lights on. And when's the last time there was a piece of legislation that was pro small business, pro employee, pro small family farm? I can't name one in the last 10 years. Let's go to Art in Elizabeth. What's going on, Art? Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. I wanted to call in this morning. There is a piece in Governor Sherrill's budget that is going to reduce the purses for Monmouth Park and the Meadowlands down from $20 million to $5 million, which will basically wipe out horse racing in New Jersey.
You are not wrong. We've had many horse breeders call the show for this issue. And it's, you know, if you are a casual observer of horse racing, if you just love the animals, if you work on one of these farms, if you work at one of the parks, I don't think people realize that it's not even a ton of money. Like, you're talking about, I think a budget item was about $50 million. And, I mean, I say that's not a ton of money. In the context of a $60 billion budget, it's not a lot of money.
It's nothing, really. Right. Yeah, and, really nothing.
And what they don't do, Art, and this drives me crazy, what they ought to do is say, okay, this $50 million represents $700 million in economic activity. I don't know what the number is. I made that up. I don't know what it is, but every one of the cuts should be evaluated with, are we throwing this money away and getting zero return, or are we investing this money and getting some return? So an example of zero return is a conversion from diesel buses to electric buses. That's, you get no return. We are throwing millions of dollars away on buses that we're not even going to have enough stations or juice to charge, and it's going to jack the costs up for New Jersey Transit. So cut that. But horse racing, what's the tangible money, revenue, return on that budget item? I don't know. Could be hundreds of millions of dollars. And
Bill,
right?
It's pennies too, because, and you're talking about one of the crown jewels of the Jersey Shore, Monmouth Park, that's been around over 100 years.
Yeah. And think about the tax revenue that Monmouth Park generates from the people that go, and the ticket sales, and the vendors. I mean, all of it. All of it. But you can't get horses to race if they are not there. Nobody's coming to Jersey if there is a paltry, you know, bag of pennies for the winner. Right?
And that's it. And the purses, they field four, five, six horses some days, as it is. It'll virtually dissolve the whole thing.
Yeah. Art, I'm with you. I'm glad you called. And by the way, Thomas is doing an outstanding job. He is a fan favorite, not only with listeners, but with the company. So he's doing a great job.
Okay. I know I brought him up well that meeting.
Look, Art, I always say parents get half the credit and half the blame. So take it.
That's right. Exactly. most of the blame sometimes.
Sometimes.
Bill, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Art. Good to talk to you. Call back anytime. Art's right. I mean, this horse racing thing is a nightmare, and it's a shame. I'd love to hear from you if you are in the horse racing business. Do you know that the governor is cutting the purse? And what that means is you're literally going to shut the industry down in this state. And I think that's a real tragedy. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 7:56 is the time. Eric Scott with your news next.
This Sunday at 8 a.m. on New Jersey 101.5, The Financial Quarterback with Josh Jelinski.
This week on The Financial Quarterback, we're breaking down a little-known tax rule that could allow some homeowners to generate tax-free income during this summer's major events like the World Cup. Plus, why the AI boom may create investment winners far beyond tech stock, and how rising oil prices could impact inflation and your retirement plan.
The Financial Quarterback, Sunday at 8 on New Jersey 101.5.
.809 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. I want to thank the Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. Eric, you know, it's interesting. It has come up now on everything I'm doing. I work with on New Jersey, the good folks there. Mm-hmm. And, yep. We did a streaming show yesterday. And it's interesting. Tom Kane issue came up. On Newsmax last week, I was on the weekends. We were doing a rundown of things happening in the world, and Tom Kane came up there. And I brought this up a couple times on the show. It's an interesting thing going on because he has been absent. Now, he's an elected member of Congress. He has missed now, I believe, 78 votes. I think that's the number, and we may be up to 81.
It could be higher than that now, yeah.
Right, because he didn't show up this week. I believe it's been 8 weeks that he's been out of
work. 2 months, yeah.
So 2 months, and what's interesting is the United States Congress, now this is what, $160,000 job, something like that, mm-hmm. $170,000. So not on the highest end of the pay scale, but still, for if you're looking at the average New Jerseyan and what they're making, they're not making 170 grand a year, and they're not getting the perks that these guys get with the travel and the expenses and the staff and the budget and everything else. So it is it's good work if you can get it. Now, you and I are held to an HR standard, and I don't know, maybe you can correct me if this is a Department of Labor rule, if this is a law, or if this is just HR accepted practice. But I understand from my experiences with HR over the years that 3 days your employer can fire you for job abandonment. If you're missing for 3 days and you don't call in, you don't check in, you don't let them know why you're out, they can terminate you. That's always been the rule that I have understood talking with different HR departments and employees. But I don't know where it stems from. Do you?
It's generally accepted as a rule, but it is classified as a form of voluntary resignation. So you are considered that you have quit, that you've abandoned your job. Yeah.
So now, obviously, if you are incapacitated and cannot speak or you're hospitalized, most employers, I imagine, would suspend that and not take it into account if you are unable to. We do not know at this point what has happened to Tom Kane Jr., Congressman Tom Kane. We've heard rumors. I've heard a lot of rumors about his medical condition. I'm not even going to speculate on the air, but I will say that if any of those rumors are true, we're praying for Tom Kane and his wife and their kids, and they're going through a really tough time. That said, you've got a four-person Republican majority now?
Yeah.
What are they, four, right? And you can't afford to lose three or four votes. Otherwise, the Democrats have effectively got the power in the House. We're headed into the midterms where there are, I believe, 18 seats that are considered a toss-up by Cook's political report. So that means if the Democrats win a handful of those, power in the House could shift. Now, my question is, how is it possible that members of Congress don't adhere to the job standards that the rest of us do?
Well, they're not required, and there's no provision for removal.
Right, you have to be impeached to be removed.
Well, you could. The House could vote
to throw you out,
remove you.
They would never do it.
They won't, especially not on a medical issue.
Right.
You know,
which I understand.
Look, this is for those of us in media and those of us who follow politics. It's a really delicate dance that you have to do.
Yeah.
Because you are entitled to medical privacy.
Absolutely.
Right. So it's nobody's asking outright, hey, what's wrong with the guy?
No.
Because I would never ask that. And I know most of my journalist colleagues wouldn't ask that either. However, you do need to ask, when is he coming back? And soon
is not an answer.
Is not an acceptable answer.
No. No. And not only that, but his staff is saying soon and at 100%.
And at 100%.
Now,
right.
I have to be honest. I think they're lying. I don't believe that. I think they are covering because this does not make any logical sense.
Correct.
Right. You know, if he is in fact hospitalized, if he is sick, if he is suffering from something traumatic,
which we don't know.
We don't know. You would assume, and I think you can do this with a great certainty, that there would be a statement from the office to say the congressman is incapacitated at the moment. His doctors are saying it could be 90 days before he comes back. Any one of us would accept that and say, okay.
And you can say that without with maintaining a level of medical privacy without revealing what is actually ailing him.
Yeah.
It became a subject. The four Democrats that are running in a primary.
Rebecca Bennett, Michael Roth, Tina Shaw, and Brian Varela.
Varela, yeah.
They had a debate. Who's up? Any of them?
You know, that's a really good question. Every piece of polling data I've seen shows it to be wide open. And I don't know that the recent debate really changed that. You know, they all said during the debate, hey, you know, we're praying for him. But, you know, the staff has said, you know, we're taking care of business. The staff wasn't elected.
Well, and they can't vote.
And they can't vote.
So it's one thing to answer calls, but you're there primarily to vote.
To vote.
And represent the 750,000 people in your district, plus or minus a few. All right, so question, do you think that politicians and elected officials should be held to the same standards as the rest of us? And that said, do you think Tom Kaine needs to resign from Congress? 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 8:15 is the time. Traffic on by the next.
New Jersey 101.5. Great New Jerseyans talking Jersey stuff. Jump in anytime. Call. App chat. Be a part of it. New Jersey 101.5.
Arrow. It's 8:21 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Hey, if you're headed north for this this weekend, you got to watch out what's happening on the GWB. Bob Williams.
Yes, sir.
What a mess. What happened? The concrete fell from underneath the building. These are the four building or three, right?
Four
apartment buildings that are over the on-ramp, essentially, that highway access before you get onto the bridge.
Right, on the New York side, right by the bus terminal. And
so what happened? Concrete fell from the roof, the ceiling.
Twice over on the overpass where the I-95 comes out of the Bronx into the GW Bridge. That's called the Trans-Manhattan Expressway, which was built in 1960. They had these couple of pieces of concrete fall off from the roof.
It's almost 70 years old.
Yes, and this is very concerning. I mean, they finally did some repairs yesterday. They are still out there this morning. And the upper level, they have two lanes closed. They were supposed to clear that at 8 o'clock. They're still out there. It doesn't look like they're going to clear anytime soon.
Two lanes of four closed, right? So two
out of three lanes on the upper level are closed on the New York side. So that is just, I haven't seen traffic this bad on the New York side of the GW Bridge in, I can't tell you when. Every road is backed up. You got 90 minutes to 2 hour delays. And the GPS is not helping you. Every time, if you're using GPS over there, it's probably sending you six ways to Sunday to get out of there, and it's just fouling things up even worse. I mean, you got multiple mile delays on all the interstates on that side of the GW Bridge, and it's also having that trickle effect through the other roads, like the Lincoln Tunnel, starting to push you down there. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I told you, leaving Manhattan on was it Wednesday night? I did the broadcast Wednesday night, and it was... It took me 40 minutes to get from 3rd and 49th to the tunnel. 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It's nuts, and they're doing it's their like, own construction over there at the Lincoln,
it's like 12
too. But
blocks. I mean, yep. So I, what's the, is there, there's no real workaround. I there mean, the Tappan Zee, right? Take the Tappan Zee.
That's it, but I mean, that
is it both ways, though, Bob? Is it impacting?
No, it's Jersey bound, but going from here to New Jersey over to New York, it's at least 30 to 45 minutes. All lanes are open leaving New Jersey, but if you got somebody coming back from the Bronx or coming in from New England on 95, they're going to be late, and hopefully they're taking a different route. It's not good, and this could be a long-term situation here. I mean, it looks like they're trying to do some stopgap measures to repair the thing, but we don't know if this is a major piece of concrete, like a structural thing, or is like one of these side pieces that is not that important. We're still trying to figure that one out.
You know, I it's interesting to me because we hear about, I right away think about the structural integrity of the buildings.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you got, I don't know, it must be a couple thousand people living in those mm-hmm. those four buildings.
Yep, they're those big. Buildings were, they were built in 1961 to 64, right after the highway opened in 1960. That was with the
are
Cross
they,
Bronx in 95.
Are they NYCHA? Are they part of the Housing Authority?
Not sure. Not okay. sure about that. But so, they've been around for 60-something years.
I mean, it's like you feel for those people because it's that clearly not the high-rent district.
Right.
Exactly. So these are not folks with a ton of options. That's what I mm-hmm. think of, right? Like right. they, like they're not like, all right, it's not like it's the pied-à-terre that you've right. got over the GWB. No.
Yeah.
These are folks no. that are either on some kind of assistance or they're grinding two or three yeah. jobs just to put food on the table. So yeah. I worry about that. I think about the integrity of the building, like that building that collapsed in Florida. And I'm not doing that to fan the flames of fear or anything. I'm saying these are real issues with these buildings that if they're not taken care of over time. And, you know, I've always been concerned about highways right. under buildings.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you hold your breath, you cross your fingers right? and all that stuff when you go under that area. Everyone's driven that stretch under the apartments. And it's just, well, yeah.
And think about this, Bob. The World Cup is almost here.
Right.
Think mm-hmm. about the traffic coming south on 95 from everybody coming to the games. I mean, it's a nightmare.
That would be the worst case scenario if they had to close it for any length of time.
Right.
That's just, it would just be horrible.
What would that mean? You'd have to take the Henry Hudson to get to the
yeah, that's
the bridge,
only
right?
road that would be unaffected right now. Because, wow. But people can't get there. Yeah. All the truck traffic is affected. It's
that's
a major clog.
Right.
It's not good. Well, hopefully things will get resolved sooner rather than later, but it's not good right now.
All right, keep us posted, Bob. Thank you.
You got it, bud.
Bob Williams. And, you know, it's frustrating to me because we continue, you hear the expression, kick the can down the road. The challenge is that's exactly what politicians do. Again, here we go again. I'll give Lewis some more ammunition to get mad at me. Another issue that is absolutely political. You elect the wrong people. You elect people that are more interested in lining their own pockets or their pockets of their friends, and this is what you get. You get a neglect on our infrastructure. You get spiking energy costs. You get politicians that get elected to cater to a base, a radical base like the environmental lobby, and all of a sudden you're paying $1,000 a month to heat and cool your home. This is why we can't have nice things. All right, are you stuck on one of these roadways right now and tuning in? Let me know what you're seeing. 1-800-283-101.5. 827 is the time. Eric Scott with the news is what's next.
New Jersey 101.5 presents Blue Friday with Bill Spadia.
So we've all had that fun experience, the Easter egg hunt, either with actual painted hard-boiled eggs. Yes, as kids, we actually did that. Or those plastic eggs filled with candy. You know, and in the fun of the kids running around, it's easy to get distracted, right? Or not to notice immediately that sometimes babies will grab anything and put it in their mouth. Well, sometimes you don't need the confusion of a lot of kids or the Easter egg hunt. Sometimes babies will just reach for something, pop in their mouth, and you got a situation. Well, this happened in March. Stafford Township Police responded to a call from a family in Beach Haven West where a baby boy was not able to breathe
because a small plastic egg was lodged in his throat. Now, Officer Adam Shearer was the first on the scene, and he discovered baby Jack, 10 months old, with his grandmother, who was babysitting him. Baby was in a lot of distress. Airway was blocked, and the officer immediately began working to try to remove the egg. Now, a moment later, Shearer was joined by Officer Brandon Haynes. Haynes was at a local road construction post, heard the call. Because it was involving a baby, he responded immediately. And thankfully, within a minute, the officer was able to get the egg out of the baby's mouth. Now, of course, a minute or two of rescue sounds fast, right? But if you're the grandmother, that felt like a torturous hour. Jack's grandmother later described Officer Haynes as quick to respond, professional, and compassionate. "He's my hero," was her quote. Jack's mom, she was at work as an emergency room nurse when the incident occurred, and just said how she feels so grateful of how capable the Stafford Township Police Department is when families are in need. As of recently, Officer Haynes has been nominated for a life-saving award for his actions that day because officers Shearer and Haynes acted so quickly, remained calm under pressure, and called back their training. Baby Jack is safe, alive today. Stafford Township PD probably put it best on their post. "As police officers, we train for countless situations, but calls involving children are among the most emotional and high-pressure incidents we respond to. This incident is a powerful reminder of why preparation, quick decision-making, and dedication to our community matter. I want to thank all the Stafford Township Police Department and specifically police officers Brandon Haynes and Adam Shearer." Thank you, guys. It's, you know, it's interesting in a situation like that, that one thing I hear over and over again on Blue Friday is people responding and thanking officers for how calm they were. You think about the panic that goes through some people's minds and how they don't know how they would remain calm. And police officers show up and, a baby is potentially minutes from death. And you've got to call back all of that training that you did, remain calm, and keep the people around you calm as well. So it's a real virtue, and it's a testament to just how difficult the job of being a police officer is. And, you know, you got to know what you're signing up for. And I've said this over and over again. I speak to a lot of 200 clubs and PBA events, and, you know, the job of a police officer in many cases, not a job, but it's also not a career. It is truly a calling. If you're going to put yourself in harm's way and put yourself in a situation where if something goes wrong, you bear the responsibility and could bear the brunt of the blame and still take action. And the result, well, in this case, 10-month-old baby Jack is going to hopefully have a long, happy, and healthy life ahead of him, thanks to the actions of these officers. So thank you to all our police officers out there. And just be mindful, guys. Move to the center lane if there's a police officer that's got somebody pulled over on the shoulder. And forget about it's the law. It is the smart, right thing to do. Don't create a dangerous traffic situation. Make sure you look before you move. But be mindful that these guys are out there all the time. And I say that also with the road construction. There are police officers there for a reason. Be aware. Slow down at these construction sites. And know that at any moment, there you could be passing within literally inches of a human being. So please be mindful of that while you're making your way around this weekend. And I say that knowing that a lot of you are on the road right now and you're super pissed off because you're not getting to where you need to go. We are backed up for miles, in and out of New York City. I'm thinking about it for tomorrow. I've got to leave the house at 4 a.m. I'm hosting 2 shows tomorrow on Newsmax. Actually, I'm a special guest tomorrow morning on the Wake Up America weekend, and then I'm hosting in the afternoon 1 to 3. So I'm gonna hit both ends of it. I'm gonna hit the morning traffic going in, and then I will not be done my job until 3:00. So I'm gonna hit that afternoon traffic going out, and I'm just dreading it. Now, and here's the bigger problem. My go-to traffic guy is off next week and is leaving tonight, so I won't be able to call Bob Williams on
Saturday afternoon and say, what's my workaround? So he's I'm going to call him tomorrow morning while he's waiting at the airport and get some workaround tips that I will then share with you on Monday. All right, it is coming up on 844. Chris, Juan, hang in there. I want to talk to you about where you are stuck right now in traffic and what has been going on, because I think it's worse than it looks on the computer right now if you are sitting in it. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. Where are you stuck today in traffic? 844. Fast traffic, instant weather next.
Spring in New Jersey means real conversations with real New Jerseyans. We're New Jersey, 101.5.
It's 8:51 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. So it's a rough ride out on the roads today. Let's start with Chris in South Brunswick. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Bill. How you doing?
Good. So where are you slugging it out right now?
I am westbound across Bronx, like in between exit 3 and 4. Oof. And when Bob Williams is staying 2 hours, that's actually being generous. It is so bad. It's taken me 2 hours to drive a mile and a half.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. Are you headed to work? Are you delivering a load?
No, I'm heading back to my terminal. So, I'm definitely going to be using my 2 hour extension just so I can get back.
God.
But
incredible.
Fortunately, the trucks are automatic. So, I don't have to worry about busting out my knee with all the constant stuff.
I was going
to
say, the old days, all manual, you'd be exhausted right now, right?
Oh, yeah. My knee would be twice the size.
Yeah, easily. Yeah. I always think about, I am famous for stopping for coffee right before I get stuck in a 2 or 3 hour traffic jam.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And just as you finish the coffee, you hit the traffic. You're like, oh, crap. Like, that's just the worst timing. Well, unfortunately, Chris, I don't know that it's going to be getting any better anytime soon. So hang in there. Good luck and be safe. Thanks, Chris.
Thank
you. Yeah, you bet. Let's go to Juan in Roselle. All right, Juan, what's going on? Where are you stuck?
Good morning, Bill. I'm on the contrary. I'm not stuck. I was in Jersey because I took the turnpike to the Bayonne Extension. And as soon as you hit the Liberty State Park all the way to the Jersey City on-ramp for the tunnel, I skated through the tunnel. I'm skating through the west side. I'm on my way up. And the tunnel, once I got off the off-ramp, it was 1, 2, 3.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. That's good.
I did a bob and weave.
The bob and weave, baby. That's it. That's it. The wand and weave. That's what we're going to call it. I love it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I got a new slogan for you.
Tell me.
You have members of the Halo Meter Society and non-members of the Halo Meter Society.
I like that. I tend to be very black and white. People either love the show and they're happy about it, or they hate me so much that they listen to the show just to express how much they hate me, which is some of my favorite stuff. I love that.
But that's exactly that. You're loved. You're loved.
Well,
if they take the time, you're loved. Have a good one, brother. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. Drive safe, Juan. All right, guys. Where are you stuck? What a mess. 2 hours. Can you imagine? It's just so frustrating. I can't blame this on any one in particular. It's just been like the slow drip of sheer incompetence in government that has gotten us here. And it's decades of just neglect. It really is neglect. And a lot of guys have tried. And, I think I'll be honest, I don't know how we fix this right now, today, immediately. There is no immediate fix. But part of what we need to do as New Jerseyans is stop blaming everybody in the past and start holding the future accountable. And what I mean by that is, expect better. I was telling you, my friend Eric Peterson, who's a great member of the Assembly, one of the few strong voices on the Republican caucus, and I really give him a lot of credit because he takes a lot of crap. But he was telling me, like, they've got a bill that they're going to eliminate targeted coupons and other giveaways. Another slap in the face to business. I don't know what prompted it. I don't know who's in favor of this. But what does that have to do with making our roadways clear, clean, and safe? What does it have to do with making our neighborhoods clean and safe? What does it have to do with lowering the cost of living so you can afford to have kids here, buy a house here, maybe, wait for it, retire in the Garden State? Wouldn't it be nice to know that if you're in your 60s right now, that you can say, oh, you know what? I can retire at a half hour or an hour from the beach, have the casinos nearby, the mountains nearby, my grandkids nearby, the shows in New York, the restaurants in Philly, all nearby because I can afford to live in New Jersey. Wouldn't that be a nice way to start? Yeah. Well, we're not there yet. We're getting there, though. 1-800-283-101.5. Where are you stuck and mad as hell right now on this Friday morning? 855. Jen Ursula with your news next.
Big Joe Henry is bringing you Jersey's biggest hits and biggest laughs every Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 3. Plus traffic, weather, and all the fun only Big Joe can deliver. Big Joe Henry. Weekends on New Jersey 101.5.
.908 on New Jersey 101.5. I want to thank Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. You know, I'm just going to share this with you. Here's my idea, and I just shared this
on the air. You know,
yes.
Sometimes you forget.
I do forget.
Yeah.
Here's what happens. I think sometimes I'm on the air when I'm not on the air.
I know.
And then I'm on the air.
True.
And I forget that I'm on the air.
Yeah, so you're on the air.
So I'm on the air right now. Good. Here's my idea, and I just pitched this to you, Jen, and Mike Brandt, who's here running the board. Thank you, Mike, for being here this morning. here's my thought.
I love it.
Remote broadcast.
Yep.
From our Asbury Park studio, which is outside. It's in like a trailer, right? It's a half trailer.
Yep.
And it has a drop-down window, so it's out to the air, right?
It opens all around.
The whole thing.
Mike has broadcasted from there many times.
I've never broadcast from there.
Well, you're about to.
So here's number one. let Sam know, I want to take the show on the road this summer.
Okay.
And I want to do Friday mornings at Asbury Park.
Okay.
I think that just makes sense because there's not a huge remote cost, right? Because we have the studio there.
No, it's our studio, yeah.
It's our place.
Yes.
Right.
So I would like to do that on Friday, or maybe Wednesdays. Like, let's do a random day.
Random day, okay.
At least in July and August. That's what I think. Maybe okay. one in July. But then here's the bigger idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That we would do one of the broadcasts starting at 10 o'clock Sunday morning.
Right.
Okay.
And go 24 hours.
To 10 a.m. Monday.
To raise money.
Yes.
What do you
think
of that?
Bill Spadia, 24 hours.
Like if
of
you
Bill.
Don't think, if you need more of me,
yeah.
I'm going to give you more of me.
Yeah, you know the what? People who love you are like, yes.
Yeah,
and the people who hate are like, oh man.
But they'll listen. They'll listen, though.
The haters listen.
The
they
haters
do because they're looking for. You know, there are three listeners. There
yep.
are there are people who just love the show.
Yep.
There are people that hate me but love the station. Then there are people that are like, I'm going to listen and I'm going to jot down things that he says and I'm going to say nasty things online.
Oh yeah, that's probably a big chunk. Yeah.
So anyway, I like this idea of a 24-hour broadcast.
We've been saying this. Yes.
So I'm thinking we could raise money. Actually, Jen, this is your idea for either veterans, police officers, or both.
Yeah, because you're a retired Marine.
So let's walk this through. We could do it.
We're setting it up now.
Friday.
Literally.
All right,
right
Sam,
now.
Here's what we want to do. We're going to do a Friday remote.
Oh, I thought it was Wednesday now.
What?
I thought you were doing a Wednesday remote.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Sam. Wednesday remote, because it's easier for me with the traffic. Friday's brutal.
I know.
And I'm not going to drive an hour.
Know, Bill,
so I love what I do, but I'm not doing that.
Okay.
Wednesday in July, maybe right after the 4th. That first week in July. And then when I get back from Europe, because we're doing the tour with conservativetours.com.
Right. Yep.
By the way, I think we still have 8 seats available on conservativetours.com.
Nice.
We're doing July 27th to August 6th. And we've got a great tour guide in Ken Chase. He is literally America's leading expert on D-Day. We're going to tour D-Day. We're going to be in Paris, Frankfurt, Belgium. It's going to be an awesome tour. 10 days. Jody and I are both going. And we'll all be on the same bus going to D-Day and hitting the road. It's going to be really outstanding. So
when you come back from that,
go to conservativetours.com if you're interested in looking into it. The price is $57.57, but that includes your round-trip airfare from Newark. All right.
And a selfie with Bill. Go ahead.
Probably a couple selfies, right? And we leave on July 27th. We come back on August 6th. So I come back on Thursday, August 6th.
Yes.
So I what I may do is broadcast from home on that Friday, but I will be in on that Friday. But then I'm thinking the week after that. So what would that be? August 12th would be the Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
So that's my thought. Mike, I'm telling you in person, but I know Sam is listening.
Right on the spot.
So Sam, we want to go July. Yeah, that first week in July, so that would be the 12th or 13th, and then that same week in August from the Asbury Park studio. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
And then when are we doing the 24 hour? When do you want to do that? What are you thinking? September?
No. I think August. August. I think we do that in August.
Do it in August.
Okay.
Yeah, like toward the end of the summer. Maybe heading into the week before Labor Day. Because I'm off the week of Labor Day. So maybe that week before, we would do 10 a.m. And we could raise money for veterans. We could raise money for police officers. I think it's a great idea. All right. There we
all
go.
All right. We got it.
And let's add a component to it. Do we have a grill there? Can
well,
I cook?
I guess we can. I guess we can add a grill.
We can add a grill.
I guess we can.
Right? We could cook.
Somebody can donate a grill.
Right? Because I'm doing that. I'm doing a barbecue for the vets. Actually, my friend Michael Bohl is on the line. Let's bring him in. Michael Bohl from the New Jersey Veterans Network. What's going on, Michael? Good morning. Oh, I don't hear him. Oh, Michael? I don't hear him.
Bill, are you there?
Ah, there we go. Hey,
hello?
Man, what's going on?
Semper
Fi, brother. Yeah, I can hear you. Sound good.
All right, I don't know what happened. Semper Fi. Actually, you guys, I love the idea of the 24-hour thing. Maybe we do like a ruck march around that area for 24 hours.
I love that. Let's do that. And I think this is a great idea. How many of the veterans in your network would participate? I think a ton.
Yeah, no, we've done this a few times, and we get a good amount of numbers. So I think.
And what do you
great.
Do? You do a march with the guys, and you go.
So we would find an area, rock a march, about 22 hours for all the veterans that are killed each day, and or suicides rather, and do something in that area for you guys, and have a barbecue. You could feed our vets while we're walking.
I love that because the walk could end at the Asbury Park studio.
That would be perfect. We'll work something out.
Yeah, and we'll have a barbecue maybe like 10 o'clock that morning when this show ends. It's a good idea. It's a good idea. All right, it's done. Now I just got to get management to cough up a couple of bucks to make it happen because it's not going to be easy. But I think they're in. Basically, I put everybody on the spot by saying it on the air. So here we go. This is what I do, Mike.
I just put
this
you on the spot as well, so I think it worked out.
Right? Exactly. All right, man. Tell me two things. One, what's going on this weekend for our veterans? And tell us a little bit about the barbecue that we got hooked up for our vets at the VA hospital.
All right, real quick with the events. We got the South River VFW is doing a motorcycle ride, and that leaves out of Long Branch at 10 a.m. May 16th, we have the Semper Fi Marine Corps run in Freehold, and we are probably going to be starting a lot of these, but on Sunday, the Beverly National Cemetery is doing their memorial service at 11:15.
Wow. Okay. And all are welcome to participate, to honor the fallen. Excellent. All right. Tell us about this barbecue we got coming up.
So we got a barbecue coming up June 5th at Menlo Park. We're going to feed all the veterans that live there. We're pretty excited. We'll have games, outdoor games for them. And we do have a sponsor. Your buddy Sean Maybe is really kicking in turbo to get us all the food and everything.
What a good dude he is, right? Sean is such a good guy. He is, just so everybody knows, he is the councilman in Kinnawan and a great member of the small business community in New Jersey. Just a solid salt of the earth guy, Sean Maybe. Yeah, I love it. I didn't know he was providing the food. I'm so happy to hear that.
No, he called me after your show. I have to say, if you don't mind me saying, probably in the last month, we have increased a lot of donations
And really, people are willing to help because of listening to the show. So I appreciate this time that we have on here.
I love it. Michael, thank you. If you are a veteran in any crisis, if you need help, whether it is mental health or substance abuse or housing or legal help, call the Veteran Crisis Hotline, 973-332-1556. The website for the New Jersey Veterans Network for all your resource and upcoming events, njvn.org. Michael Ball, have a great weekend. I appreciate you.
You too. Semper Fi.
Right, Semper Fi. It is 9:16. Tom, hang in there. I'll get to you first on the side of traffic and weather next.
Your news, your state, your station. Get breaking news, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Sponsored by Hackensack Meridian Health.
Earth Arrow. 9:22 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Hey, I got a note from our former producer, Kristen. One of her listeners asked if I would shout this out, so I'm going to. May 16th, that's tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., VFW Post 4699 on Journey Mill Road in Sayreville. There is a Support Our Troops donation drive. So if you can stop by Post 211, you can drop off between 1 and 8 p.m. Today to their lobby. Tomorrow, they're open 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And this is Horror and Hot Rods. It's an ice cream monster jamboree. But here's what they need for our vets at Post 211. Socks, not white. Underwear, T-shirts, toiletries, toothpaste, brushes, deodorant, mouthwash with no alcohol in it, shave cream, foot powder, sunscreen, washcloths, lip balm, disposable razors, baby wipes, soap, instant coffee packets, energy bars, single-serve cereal, phone cards, baseball caps, and other hygiene products. And they made a special mention to say, don't forget the female soldiers with feminine hygiene products. So May 16th, 10 to 4 p.m., VFW Post 4699 in Sayreville. And you can also go to Post 211 and drop off your items between 1 and 8 p.m. in the lobby. So this is VFW Post 4699 and the Sayreville South Amboy Rotary and American Legion Post 211. So get there if you can and help the guys out. All right, 9:24. Let's go to Tom in Milford. What's going on, Tom? Morning.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning, listeners. What are the dates for that? You were just talking about that event to do outside, and you started bringing up the idea of food. I wanted to offer to do a pig roast.
Well, I love pigs, and I love them more when they're roasted. So, yes, I like this idea. Here's what I'm going to do, Tom. Are you talking about the barbecue that we're doing for the vets?
Yeah. Remember, I called in a couple months ago with the pig roaster.
Yeah.
Some pictures in on it.
I remember you.
Pig roasting for free, whatever.
So here's what I want to do, Tom. I'm going to put you on hold, and Kyle's going to take all your contact information, and I'm going to get you in touch with Michael Bowl. And I'm going to, because here's what I'm thinking. We already got the food for the VA hospital event. But if you're willing, I'd love to add another one and help another hospital location, help a, you know, we've got a lot of areas where we've got veterans that, you know, they're in need. They need help. They want help. And your offer is super generous. I would love to do that. So I'm going to put you on a brief hold. Thank you, Tom. Have a great weekend. And I'm going to get in touch with Michael Bowl today. Yeah, pretty nice, right? That's it's very cool, and that there are so many people out there. You know, New Jersey is a great state, and people do care. And I really just want to thank all of you for tuning in and helping out when you can. I also want to make one more mention. I'm just scrolling through my calendar here. There was another event I was supposed to plug, and I want to. Oh, yeah. Holiday City South Men's Club. They've got a car show happening tomorrow, Saturday the 16th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's in the Holiday City South parking lot, which is Santiago Drive in Toms River. So I want to thank Bob Bradley for letting us know about that. This is the Men's Club sponsoring a car show at the clubhouse tomorrow. And they invited me to come. I can't go tomorrow, guys. I am working at Newsmax. I am hosting the afternoon show, the Saturday agenda between 1 and 3 p.m. And then, of course, I'll be joining my friends Kyle and Kenzie on Wake Up America Weekend starting at 7 a.m. tomorrow. So I won't be there. But if you want to support this, another cool event, Holiday City South Men's Club, the car show, Saturday, May 16th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Holiday City South parking lot. All right. If you got an event you want to plug coming up this weekend, let me know. 1-800-283-101.5-926. Jenner Sillo with your news next. Five. 9:36 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. Jen, that time seems really early.
What's early?
I love it.
Oh,
typically it's like 9:37, 9:38. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about that.
We blew through it.
I feel like we're already in a summer mode.
Oh, 100%.
You know, we're talking about, so now we've expanded. We're not talking about doing a remote broadcast from the Asbury studio either every Monday in July and August or every Wednesday. And
that's what we're thinking.
Management knows. I just gave Mike Brandt my dates. I'm available.
Really,
I think,
did.
What did I say, Mike? All of, most of them.
Yeah.
Not, yeah, the six.
Most Mondays and Wednesdays.
Most Mondays and Wednesdays.
July and August.
But you had it. I wish people could see how this all unfolded off the air, because here's Bill go, all right, Mike, here are my dates. And Mike's just like scribbling.
I'm like, okay. He's like, you could text it to me. I'm like, why? I'm already reading them to you.
Look at my notes.
That could be a post. That right there could be a post.
That's how I do notes.
I love it.
I'm not available this day. I'm available this day. Oh, my God. It was just,
you know,
too funny.
I realized, it's funny, you're writing that down. I would have not, I don't know where to find a pen.
No, you'd be lost. It's I don't, let Mike take care of it.
You know what I do? The only thing I find myself now on TV needing a pen, because when I introduce a guest, here's another teleprompter ridiculousness. I sometimes, in the middle of the conversation, forget their name. Now, I don't know if I'm alone in that, but I'll introduce a guest.
Yeah.
And then the name's gone.
Gone.
So I find myself looking sometimes off camera to the monitor to see if we put the name banner up so if I can then remember.
Oh, my God.
So now what I do is before the show, I write it in big letters in front of me so I can follow my own rundown so I know who the guests are.
All right. Well, whatever works for you.
So I don't screw it up. But it's so old school, right, to write notes.
Yeah, but I love old school writing.
But let me tell you something. When you write, you as adults, we learn that way. The way I'm able to memorize things, I write note cards. I do this at home.
100%.
If I'm going to give a speech, I don't know when the last time I used any note for a speech. I'm always, you know, off the cuff. But I memorize a lot of stats and numbers and I keep it in my head. The way I can memorize it is I fill out note cards.
Yeah.
So when I'm like sometimes in the morning, sometimes 4 a.m, I'm reading an article. I, even though it's sitting right there, instead of printing it, I write 3 or 4 things. I leave the card at home, but the act of writing it out sticks in my head. Because people are like, how do you remember those weird details? I'm like, it's all muscle memory from writing things out.
And I don't know all the details of this, but I remember my son in AP Bio. This kid could rattle off everything. I'm like, how do you remember all that? He goes, color coded. His bio teacher taught him to color code certain elements, and in his head, blue would come in and he could remember everything. Pink would come in, remember. I don't know how he did it, but so color coding too.
You know what pink is?
What is pink?
Monday. You know what blue is?
Tuesday,
Thursday.
This is you?
Saturday. Yes.
Oh, wow.
When I was in kindergarten or nursery school or something, you know, Montessori, I don't know where the hell my parents stuck me in when
you
I was little.
You had a color for a day?
I had colors for a day. I've never forgotten it. When I visually see the days.
Is that right?
So Monday is pink. Tuesday is blue. Wednesday is green. Thursday is blue. Friday is red. Saturday is blue. And Sunday is yellow.
Why is blue so many times?
It's a great color. What do you mean?
I understand that, but there's so many colors.
Red, white, and blue. It's a great color. It may be the best color. The very best color.
All right. But see, the color code works.
Isn't that funny?
Isn't that great?
I don't know why Monday is pink. And what's funny is it's among my least favorite colors, so it's also most people's least favorite day. And yellow is like in your face,
right?
Which is why I have always worked for companies that have yellow, like Jim Weikert. Like it was yellow and black,
right? Here,
this crazy place, yellow and blue, and sometimes black,
yep.
Right?
And I mean, it's yellow.
Oh, it's an in-your-face yellow.
Oh, yeah.
This is a headache waiting to happen when I walk into the studio.
It's not like a light lemon yellow. Oh, it's canary yellow.
That's the other thing. Another. Let's talk about this with management on the air. That New Jersey one, you would have to write this down.
I got it.
All right. Did you see that behind Jen's head?
Yeah.
There's a huge New Jersey 101.5 poster.
Yeah.
That's on the what do we call that? The sponge board or the whatever the hell that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should cover this window because at this moment, no one is looking at that except me. And I know where I work. So the reason I want to put it on this window behind me is so the camera, by the way, guys, I heard from management yesterday.
Oh.
They do respond. They do exist. Sam is a real person.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm gonna read
you the text. The cameras are going to go live?
Hold on. I'm going right to the source here.
Oh, man.
So the cameras, and why is this interesting to the audience? Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because people are in their cars like, what the hell is he talking about? I get it. I want to go live on video so you can watch us in the morning as well. Because, and then I can like write notes and hold them up to the camera in case you have the volume down. Anyway, let me go. Hold on. Let me search for Sam.
I'm still on the fence about how this is going to go.
No,
over.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Because you had said it was going to go live a while ago. Okay.
All right. Webcam for YouTube is all set up. Just need to focus the camera and show Kathy and Thomas how to stop and start.
Okay.
That's it. That's the text. So that means producer Thomas, board op Kathy, Mike, you'll know how to do it. We have to teach Kyle how to do it because he comes in when Thomas goes to do tapings for the other shows. We need to be able to turn it on and turn it off. And now I believe it will have only the radio audio. So whatever we're broadcasting will be on YouTube.
So I think not you're right. Off air.
Which is probably
best.
Better. But I'm going to find out if we can turn, like, it would be cool if we, I mean, I don't know. I don't know because I don't know if you'll hear the ads. I'm not sure. I don't know if the YouTube channel will work with the app. I'm not sure of that. What would be great, so Mike, let me throw this at you. Okay. Here's maybe another thing if you got your pen out.
Okay.
Mike.
We should have a video component on the app so that you could, instead of going to YouTube, stay in the app.
Oh, that's a good idea. I like that one.
Right?
Yeah,
who's in charge of the app? Who are the guys that run the app? Who created it? Who runs it? Because I want to talk to them right now. All right, you know who you are. Whoever you are that designed the
it's
app.
It's not you, Mike?
No, it's
that
not me.
Somebody's obviously updating
it's
the
not
app.
Annette.
There's a guy. There's somebody.
Yeah.
Guy or girl. It's not Annette. I don't know.
It's not Annette.
Annette does everything else.
She does, but that's
are you sure? Because I don't know why I went to Sam. I should have gone to Annette.
Is it Sergio?
Could be.
Oh, it could be Sergio.
All right, Sergio. Here's what we want to do. We want to make sure that the YouTube feed is can be seen on the app.
I think Sergio may know this, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a good idea.
I like it.
So anyway, stay tuned. All right, Bob in Long Branch, hang in there. I'm going to get to you in a second, but I got to break quick for traffic and weather.
New Jersey news when it matters. Breaking updates, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Supported by Hackensack Meridian Health.
.9 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. Guys, got to get out of here in a few minutes. Let's go to Bob in Long Branch. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Good morning. Man. What's that? So, Bob, you're a pilot.
Yes, and I agree 100%. When you say you write something down, you remember it. Well, I have another way to do it.
Tell me.
An old-time pilot told me years ago, when you're in an airport, out of an airport, ground frequency, they give you all these different frequencies, squawk frequencies. What you do is picture it. If you picture it, you'll remember it. So if they say 121.5, picture 121.5, and then when you go to change it I fly helicopters, you remember it because you pictured it. So seeing it, I'm writing it down, it's the same thing. Once you visualize it,
what do you mean picture? Like you put it in your head and you see what it looks like.
You visualize the frequency or the numbers or
that's
the name.
That's so interesting. It. You know, that's funny because you say that. Because I'm in the studio every day and the New Jersey 101.5 logo is in here and the numbers are in red. So when I hear someone say the station, I see it in my head. As the red digits.
Go.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
So it really works. Somebody told me that a long, long time ago when I was in the Air Force. and it's worked ever since. When they give you the, and you have three or four frequencies sometimes on when you're approach, ground, departure, and if you picture it when they say it, picture it seeing it, you'll remember it.
That
and
is very cool.
Me.
I love it, man. All right, hey Bob, have a great weekend. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you. All right, it's 9:53. So as we wrap up today, a couple things. One, I'm going to just say this. I do not support a suspension of the gas tax. I don't support it at any level. And the reason is that we know the way our government operates. If they are starved of any piece of the revenue right now, they're going to cut the wrong things. What the Republicans ought to be talking about is going back to the dedication of certain taxes and how it's spent. You're not doing me any favors by saving me $5 a week. What you should be doing is talking about lowering our property taxes and spending the $61 billion budget the right way. We do not need $61 billion to run the state. We should realistically be able to get that number down into the 40s. I'm not saying we can go back here 9 years later to the Christie level budget, but it is very important to note that we literally had a $35 billion budget when Chris Christie left office. We now have a north of $60 billion budget. It's unsustainable. Our costs are out of control. We have to restructure the Department of Banking and Insurance, get our costs under control when it comes to insurance. We need to go after a different plan for our teachers and everywhere else to make them whole, but not continue this path, which is unsustainable. And at the end of the day, we're going to deprive our hard workers of their hard-earned pensions because we're simply not going to be able to afford it. It's happened in other places. Let's not let it happen here. Guys, have a really awesome weekend. I will see you Monday at 6.